Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, man sagt das Yevamis, Perik Yod, Mishnah Aleph, Ha'isha Shehalach Baila L'Medinas Hayam. Her husband went L'Medinas Hayam. Literally means on the other side of the ocean. But the Mishnah means a faraway place. Ivova Amrula, then an aid Echad came and told her, Mes Balach, your husband died. Now, we know whenever there are Edim, you have to have two Edim. But here Chazal made an exception. If a woman's husband disappears, she can never get married unless we know that he died. She's called an Aguna. Chazal wanted to do everything possible to make sure a woman shouldn't be stuck in a matzav of being an Aguna. And therefore, they made an exception to the rule, and they said even if a single Ed comes and says that the husband died, we believe him. One of the reasons Chazal were lenient with this, to say even a single aid is enough, is that most people won't lie about a person dying. Someone's going to come along and say so-and-so died, and he really didn't die. It's going to be very embarrassing if he says, I'm telling you so-and-so died, and the person who supposedly died taps him on the shoulder and says, what did you just say? The second reason Chazal were makel and lenient with a single aid is that we're soon going to see in our Mishnah they were very machmer on a woman who assumes that her husband died, and then it turns out he's alive. So we're pretty sure that this woman is going to do whatever follow-up investigation possible to make sure that her husband died before she's going to get married again. For those two reasons, we accept the testimony even of a single aid. But here's what happened. An aid echad came and said, Mes Balach, your husband died. V'nissa, she got married. And v'yachar kach ba'ala, suddenly her husband showed up. So Teitzei Mizem is that she's going to have to leave both her original husband and the second husband. She's usher to them and usher to them forever. She has the din of an eshes ish, of a married woman that was mezana, that is usher to her husband and usher to the person that she had relations with. Even though one may say, well, I mean, it's not her fault. Didn't Chazal say an eid echad is enough? Yeah, but that was based on the fact that she's going to thoroughly check into it. And obviously she didn't. But, explains the Batanura, if two Edom came and said, your husband died, and we didn't have to come on to any heter, and she gets married again, and then the first husband shows up, then she can return to the first husband. Here she's considered an anusa. It's not her fault at all. At least that's what our Mishnah is going to tell us. The Batanura says in the Gemara we see that in both cases she would have to leave both. So again, Yisha Shalach Baila Medina Sayyam, her husband went Medina Sayyam, Boy of Amula, a single aid came and said, Mes Balach, your husband died. The Nisa, so she got married on the testimony of that single aid, which she was allowed to do. But that was assuming she's really going to check up to make sure it's true. And afterwards, Ba'ba'ila, her first husband shows up. So Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, she's going to be usher to both. She's going to have to leave both. We're not saying she did this on purpose. We're not saying she's amazed. But we are saying that it could be she ought to have been more careful. She's going to need a get from both. Now, I understand she needs a get from the first one because she was legally married to him. But why would she need a get from the second one? The second marriage didn't take effect. The answer is, explains the Batanura, well, people will see the first one is alive. They're going to assume, if her husband's alive, how did she marry someone else? It must be he divorced her. And people will think that she got legally married to the second one. And if she's going to go out without a get, people are going to say, you know what? An Eshes Ish went out without a get. So therefore, we say she's going to have a get from both. V'ainla, she has no schus to collect ksuba. If subsequently she's divorced or becomes an almana, she doesn't get her main ksuba. That's the 200 that Chazal were masakein for a woman that wasn't married before. Or whatever extra the husband may have added in the ksuba. V'loy peiros. So like we learned in the previous Mishnah, b'derech klal, a husband has a right to eat the peiros of the nichsei milug. Even though nichsei milug is something she didn't relinquish, it's hers. Like we learned, these are nechasim that she brings into the marriage, and if the nechasim go up in the value, it's her gain. If it goes down, it's her loss. But because the husband is obligated to redeem her, she gets captured, so in turn, he was given the peiros. Now, in this case, the husband's not mechuyev to redeem her. So really, they had no right to eat the peiros, so she should get it back, for sure, from the second one. But findesveg, and despite that, again, kind of as a punishment for not checking properly, and getting married before it was 100% sure that her first husband died, she does not get the peiros back. Incidentally, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, if after the first husband showed up, the second husband continued eating the peiros, that he does have to return. Because there he's stam aganav. You know already this is not your wife. Vayitra says the Mishnah v'loy mezaynus. Also, one of the conditions of ksuba is that the husband supports his wife. She loses this chos over here. And like we explained earlier, that lechara would be pashit. The chiddush is, I mean, if the husband's mechuyev to divorce her, for sure he doesn't have to support her. But the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even if this woman borrowed money, saying, I need money for my food, my husband is not home, he's been Medina Sayyam, and she says, it's okay, my husband's going to pay you back, he's part to the payback, that chayiv. Vayitra says, Mishnah v'loy belois, the woman brings in the chasim to her husband's house when she gets married, either the first or the second one, and they're damaged, they went down in value, he doesn't have to make up for it. Although she does have a right to take back what physically still exists. And this would apply to even Nichsei Tzayin Basel. Remember, Nichsei Tzayin Basel means that the husband took upon himself a guarantee that if it goes down in value, he's going to give her back what she brought in, not what it's worth now. But in this case, he wouldn't have to. Says the Mishnah, Im Notla, Mizeh Mizeh, if she took payment on one of these things from either the first or second husband, Tachzer, she has to give it back. This is only if she took it after she knew she was Asid above. But what she took before the first one showed up, before her original husband reappeared, for that the Chachamim did not punish her to say she has to return it. And Vayitra says the Mishnah, Vahavalad Mamzer Mizeh Mizeh, the Torah asers the child to come Bekal Yisra. Now the child born from the second husband, we understand, because the Maaseh she was an Eshes Ish. Why should the child born to the first husband be considered a Mamzer? So Vatrinu says, Enchanami, that would be Midrabanan. Now, of course, we don't mean the children that were born from before. We mean children that were born after he came back and found out that she by mistake married someone else. Vayitra says, Mishnah v'loy zeh v'zeh metam in law. It's also to a kohen to be metam himself to a mess, unless the person that passes away is one of the seven relatives. And one of the seven relatives is his wife. Then it's not only mutter, but it's a mitzvah for him to make sure that he personally takes care of kavod hames. But in our case, if the woman died before he gave her that divorce, both husbands, if they are kahanim, it's also for them to be metamed themselves to her. The second husband, it's not his wife. And the first one is aser, because the Torah says, le'yitam ba'al ba'amav le'hechaloi. Kohen cannot be metam himself to a wife that would take away his kahuna. Chazal say, we're talking about a woman that was asur to him. Vayitra says the Mishnah, v'loi zeh v'zeh zakoyen loy b'mtziyosa v'loy b'masi yedeh. Not the first husband, not the second husband, have no right to anything that the woman found, the hefker, the item that the woman found, like normally a husband does, and the answer is yes. Chazal were mesaken that the mitziyah of an isha, we'll learn about this in Masechtas Ksubas Bez Hashem, is shayach to her husband. And that's to prevent hard feelings between them. But this woman that was asit him, Chazal took this chus away from him. That's as much as the first husband is concerned. The second husband has no right to her mitzvah anyway. He's not her husband. What a wife works belongs to the husband. The other side of the coin is the husband is mechuyev to make sure she has what she needs. But in this case, because he's not mechuyev and her mezaynis, he loses the schos. Vayitra says the Mishnah, v'loy b'hafaras nedareah. The Torah gives a right to a husband to be mefer, to be mevatel, certain types of nedarim that his wife took upon herself. Nedarim that cause her tzar, that's called inu nefesh, let's say she says she's not going to eat. The purpose of the husband being able to be mefer, the wife's neder, These types of nidarim, inu nefesh, dvarim shebeina lebeina, may make the husband dislike his wife. But in our case, that's what we need over here. He has to divorce her. Vaitra says, the Mishnah is a Bas Yisrael. Even if she's not a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, but she was a Bas Yisrael, nifsala min hakohuna, she's possible to marry a Kohen from this point or not. Ubas Levi min hamaiser. If she's a Bas Levi, she cannot eat maiser. This is part of the knas. Because normally a Bas Levi that was Mezana does not become possible for maiser. Ubas Kohen min hatruma. If she was a Bas Kohen, she becomes possible to eat truma. Vaitra says the Mishnah v'ein yarshim shel zeh v'yarshim shel zeh yarshim es ksubasa. Neither her sons from the first husband or from the second husband yarshin her ksuba. You take a look at the batanur over here, you're going to see three words. Ksubas benin dichrin. In Masechtas Ksubas we'll see these words a lot. But what do they mean? It can't mean the actual ksuba because we learned already she doesn't have the ksuba. Her sons can't yarsh on something she doesn't have. We're talking about one of the conditions of ksuba. One of the conditions of the ksuba is that the Baal obligates himself, that if his wife dies during his lifetime, so he yarshins her. But when he dies, all the money or the nadin that was mentioned in the ksuba goes over to the male children, to the boy children, that they had together. So let's say he had a few wives. The children from the other wives say, no, that's part of our father's Yerusha. It has to all be divided equally. Although technically, when she dies before, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. But there is this arrangement called ksubas benin dichrin, which says that if she dies before, when he dies, whatever should have been in that ksuba, her children get, and it's not divided amongst his other children, if he has children from a different wife. In this case, however, Chazal gave a knas, and this din does not apply. Her children will not have any more than anyone else. Vayitra says the Halakha Mishnah of Emesu, if the Baal died without children, Ochiv shel zeh v'ochiv shel zeh choylsin, give her chalitza v'lo miyavin. One of the husbands died before he had a chance to divorce her. And there are no children, and there are brothers. Now, the brother of the first husband, so we understand, that's Min HaTorah. He was the real husband. But the Rabbanim made a gzeira that the brother can't be Miyavin. The second brother, here too we say there's going to have to be chalitz, and that's Midrabbana. Just like we said, she needs a get from the second one. People shouldn't get confused. She needs chalitz also. Rabbi Yossi says, Ksubasa al nichsei baila harishon. Rabbi Yossi argues on the third halach of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi says the Chachamim did not punish the woman to lose her ksuba from the first husband. After all, she still didn't do this on purpose. Maybe she should have been more careful. But Lamaisa, Chazal did give her the green light to get married even with one aid. Although Rabbi Yossi would not allow her to get a ksuba from the second husband. The second husband, Ve'em, is not her husband. Rabbi Elazar says, Harisha, the first husband, Zakei b'mtziyasa u'b'maisi yedeh u'b'hafaras nedereh. Rabbi Lazar argues on the Tanakhama and says, I don't understand, why are you punishing the first husband? He didn't do anything wrong. Why should he lose his schusin? Like keeping her mitzias, the work of her hands, and to be able to be made for her nedar. Rabbi Shimon says, b'yasa echalitzasa mi'ochav shal rishayin peteres sarasa. Tanakhama holds that if the Baalim died, the brothers have to give chalitza, and they can't be miyavimer. According to Reb Shimon, the first husband, his brother, could be miyavimer, either yivim or chalitza. And if there's another wife, a tzara, then the yivim or the chalitza would pater that tzara. Like in any case, where a person dies and he had two wives. Where yivim or chalitza to one paters the tzara. Reb Shimon says, there's a penalty. That's during the lifetime of the husband. What's after with the brother? And furthermore, ve'ein havlad mimenu mamzer. Shimon also argues in the Tanakhama. Before she got a get from the second one, and she became a yuberis from him, the Tanakhama holds that vlad is a mamzer mid rabbanan. Shimon says no, that vlad is kosher. Of course, a child from the second one would be a mamzer, even according to Reb Shimon. And the Mishnah concludes, V'yim nisa shaloi b'rishus muteris lachsaloi. What? If we didn't have the Mefarshim to explain what this Mishnah means, it wouldn't make any sense. If she got married without permission, then she is mutter to go back to him. You know what without permission means? It means she didn't need permission. All these penalties apply where there was only one aid that the husband died. She came to Bezin and said, look, I only have one aid. Okay, so Bezin relies on her and gives her permission to get married with the understanding she's going to really check things out. But if she didn't need permission, because there were two aidim, under those circumstances, muteris lachzeloi, because then we say it's totally not her fault. Okay, let's do a quick chazara on our Mishnah. The Mishnah begins the case about a woman whose husband came l'medina sayam, and Eid Echad said he died. She got married. She's allowed to, but she was supposed to really, really check. That's one of the reasons that an Eid Echad is enough to allow a woman to get married in this case. Normally you need two Eidim. We feel she's going to do enough follow-up investigation. L'maisa, she gets married, and then the first husband shows up. She has to leave both of them. She needs a get from both of them. She doesn't get her ksuba. He does not have to return the peiros that he ate, even though the peiros are instead of his chiv to redeem her. That's the reason he's allowed to eat the peiros. So over here, l'chayra, if he doesn't have to redeem her, he should have no right to eat the peiros. He doesn't have to give it back. There's no mezainis. We explained that means even if she borrowed money on the cheshbon, when her husband wasn't here, that her husband will pay it back. He does not have to pay it back. She brought things into the marriage and it's worth less now. It warped. It's called belois. The husband does not have to make up the difference. And this applies to both husbands. If she did take payment, she has to give it back. And according to the Tanna Kamma, the child is a mamzer from both. And from the second one, we understand. From the first one, l'chayra, why should that child that's born afterwards be a mamzer, and that's midrabbanim. If the husbands are kehanim, they have no right to be metama themselves to her. They don't get a right to things that she finds, or the work of her hands, or to be made for her nedarim. If she was a bas yisrael, she becomes pasul to a kayin. If she was a bas levi, from meiser. If she was a bas kayin, she can no longer eat truma. Normally there's a halacha. It's a tanai ksuba called ksubas benin dichrin. And that means if she dies before the husband, although the husband does not have to pay the ksuba, but when he dies, her children, yarshin, that amount in that ksuba, it's not divided amongst the other children from a different marriage. That won't apply over here. She doesn't have that schus. If one of the brothers died before he had a chance to divorce her, and there were no children, and there are brothers, she needs chalitza. She needs chalitza from both brothers. And none of the brothers are allowed to be miyavim her. This is the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yossi says, the first husband does have to pay the ksuba. Rebbe Lazar says the first husband does have the schus, the things that she finds, the work of her hands, and to be made for her nedarim. He didn't do anything wrong. Why are you punishing him? As they halt Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon says that the first husband, if he dies and there are no children, his brother could be miyavim her, and either yivim or chalitza would pater et zara, would pater any other wife in this marriage. Shimon also holds that the child of the first husband is not considered a mamzer. The Mishnah concluded, V'im nisas, that if she married someone shaloi b'rishos. Now this is tricky. Shaloi b'rishos sounds like she did something wrong. Without rishos. But actually it means she was more careful. Shaloi b'rishos means, it's not like one aide came and she went to Bezin and said, listen, I only have an aide. And Bezin said, okay, so we're relying on you. We'll give you rishus. She didn't need rishus. She had two bona fide aidim that came and said, your husband died. She gets married, and then it turns out her first husband shows up. She's mamish. Someone that's totally not her fault. We have no tainus against her, and therefore the chachamim did not give her any knas whatsoever. Well, Maisin, the Gemara says that this is only the sheet of Reb Shimon.